SMS Karima on 31702.
That's right. You can, of course, also call me on 011-883-0702 to give me your version of what you think of the maiden budget speech of Finance Minister Tito Mboweni. But for now, we're going to take a gendered perspective of the budget. In previous budget speeches, former Finance Minister Malusi Gigaba announced that government plans to increase its spending on social protection from 193.4 billion in the next financial year to 223.9 billion by 2021. Today, our new finance minister, Tito Mboweni, stated that government has allocated 567 billion rand for social grant payments. He announced that grants values will increase as follows: 80 rand increases for old age, disability, war veterans, and care dependency grants. There will be 40 rand increases for foster care grants to 1,000 rand, and child support grants will increase to 420 rand in April and to 430 rand in October. Funding is perhaps the single biggest challenge facing women's shelters and anti-gender-based violence organizations in the country. It will, of course, be interesting to see how much of that money will actually be allocated to fund women's shelters and gender-based violence organizations. And, of course, President Ramaphosa likes pointing out that the face of poverty and inequality is a feminized one, that it is the face of a black woman. So it's important for us to look at how the budget prioritizes the protection of women, the empowerment of women. And for that, I'm joined on the line by gender activist Ms. Lisa Vetten. Lisa, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karina. Thanks very much. And good evening to your listeners.
Now, of course, funding is perhaps the single biggest challenge facing women's shelters and anti-gender-based violence organizations in the country. The small amount of money government allocates to these organizations is not adequately costed for service organizations. And we have a situation where donor trends also favor prevention and not care services. Did Mr. Mboweni give you any hope today that the situation will be any different, Lisa?
No, because he never touched on the issue at all. Because, you know, social protection deals predominantly with grants, and that's what he spoke about. He didn't talk about the shadow, what I see as the shadow component of social development, and those are the welfare services. Because that's the money that will be going to shelters,
yes,
to post-rape care, to older persons' homes, to families, to substance abuse centres, etc. So there wasn't a single word about that. To try and get some understanding of it, you need to go and look at the budget review.
Mm.
And what one could see is that there is, and I mean, this is good, because grants, there's lots of research to show how important grants are into South Africa.
Yeah.
You could see that this year's budget, approximately 8% of it is going towards social welfare programs.
Mm.
The bulk is obviously remaining with grants. But we can see an 8% increase in the services, the welfare services budget this year over last year.
Mm.
The question, but what that increase is for, we don't know. It
yeah.
could be the movement from the conditional grants into the provincial budget. But, you know, we sit here asking these questions. You know, President Ramaphosa just 10 days ago stood up and talked about giving money to shelters and to their care centers, but we cannot see it in the budget. I think just to, yeah.
No. What I wanted to say is this is often the case. I mean, we've had a gender summit with the total shutdown movement. We've had commitments. But obviously, if the fiscus doesn't support these initiatives, they will just end up in talk shops. We won't be able to actually physically assist people that are in danger. And the scale of the problem in South Africa is almost a pandemic, if you like. How does one get to champion this in fiscal terms so that one can actually begin to measure it? Because a lot of people argue that if something is not measured and it's not counted, you can't account for it. And, I mean, are the statistics even there to guide government in terms of the nature of the problem and what kind of resources will be required to actually intervene in a sustainable way?
No, not at all, Karina. Our statistics are awful. I wouldn't trust anything the police tell us about how many rapes get reported.
Mm.
I've just heard far too many police officers who work in the Crime Information Analysis Centre explain to me how they fiddle those stats to actually believe them.
Yeah.
For me, an indication of just how poor things are is that the first time in the history of welfare services that somebody tried to figure out how many shelters we might need in South Africa was in 2016. Even then, they don't. The question was, how should we do this? And we end up using a figure like 1% of poor women between the ages of 18 to 59. So if you take that figure and you look at what is actually available in the country, it's really poor. Gauteng, for example, which has some of the most shelters, if you use that proxy, we have 12%. We meet 12% of the need. So there's no attempt logically or rationally to try and figure out how many women will need post-rape care. So, you know, all those questions around, there isn't even a policy around what, when we use words like post-rape care, what do we mean? What is the level of training that is required to provide it? Do we always need a social worker, for example? How many sessions does somebody need? You know, we've just been doing some work on shelters, and this really concerned me. We looked at women's mental health in shelters and found that it's probably the average of prevalence of psychological distress in the last year in South Africa is about 16.5%.
Wow.
In shelters, it is at least 21%, if not higher. And yet shelters, in the Free State, for example, this is perhaps the most egregious example I've seen. Not a single staff member there is employed on a full-time basis. They're all employed as so-called volunteers, earning stipends of 600 rand a month.
Lisa, how do we call out government on this absolute lack of commitment to put resources behind the safety of women, the empowerment of women, and their protection? The trade unions, for example, have championed the rights of workers. They get Indabas, they get meetings with the president around how job losses are going to affect them and so on. Women make up 52% of this country's population. How do we get to interface with those in power to begin to hear us and to begin to call them out on the fact that what they spend on women is actually lousy and pathetic and in fact quite disgusting?
It's a really good question, Karina. I mean, I want to pick up on the national minimum wage because for me that's a prime example of the kind of hypocrisy that exists around these issues. If you look at our data, 69% of women, of those in the NPO sector are women, and 75% in the EPWP sector are women. And yet government is paying subsidies to NPOs who provide these services that are below the minimum wage. I saw today that the Department of Health had obviously budgeted to give community health workers the minimum wage of 3,500 rand. The DSD, I mean, we heard President Ramaphosa talking about the importance of early childhood development. Just being in the Eastern Cape this week, they're paying subsidies of between 700 rand to 2,000 rand a month to the women who work in those early childhood development centres. So, you know, you are saying we care about women, we're running all these women's empowerment programs, and yet you cannot even be bothered to give them the minimum wage. We met with the presidency to say, wait, you are writing this minimum wage and you are placing no obligation on the Department of Social Development to provide subsidies that meet the minimum wage. We got no response from it. The CGE, we laid a formal complaint of gender discrimination with the CGE on this. They wrote to the presidency. They got no response either. Parliament ignored these representations as well. So for me, it's very much as you say. If you want to test government's commitment, go and look at where the money is.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's the most effective way of looking at what government actually values. And despite protestations to the contrary, it is absolutely clear that they don't give a damn about women's safety and about women's well-being. Because if they did, they would actually put the necessary resources there to deal with the problems. And all these summits and all these discussions mean absolutely nothing if there is actually no resources, if there's actually nothing that women can turn to survive, to stay alive, and to escape essentially the violence that they receive simply for being female.
Well, precisely, because I went to that summit and I looked at the venue and I saw how many people were there, and I'm sorry, I couldn't help calculating. That ran into at least a million. Mm. I couldn't help thinking how many shelters I know of that are running on 200,000 rand a year, which is grossly inadequate. But you could run at least a shelter for a year on that one summit, and you would be having more of an effect on somebody's life. Some of the research you've been doing on shelters shows that more than half of women do not go back when they've been in a shelter.
Absolutely.
That's really impressive.
Lisa, it's actually just quite dismaying, and I'm despairing with this conversation, because it's so absolutely clear that women do not feature in the priorities of these government, despite all these gatherings that we keep on having. Yes. We're sadly running out of time. Thank you so very much for coming onto the program and taking us through what is actually really allocated to look at the consequences of gender-based violence, which is almost endemic in South Africa. And of course, the answer is a big no. President Ramaphosa, Minister Tito Mboweni, you need to do a whole lot better.